That was quite an introduction. Are you impressed? Wow, you really got serious here. Let me get situated, okay? It's great to be here in Kodiak. I lived in Anchorage for 13 years, and it was wonderful. I thought I really ticked God off because I flew straight from India to Anchorage. And when I left India, it was 18 million people, the size of Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, Calcutta City. And I landed in Anchorage, and there was not a soul. I was like, it's white and it's not sand. Would you do me a big favor? You all of a sudden got really serious on me. Okay? I want you to look at your spouse or your friend. Go ahead, look at each other and repeat after me. Boy, it looks like you have lost weight. Now that everybody is happy, I'll get to my task. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for letting me be here and Don, staying at their home and with their kids. I'm having fun. And it's really great. And for my really, really good friend, Lindsay. All of you know who Lindsay is. Yes. Woo. Yeah. Yeah, Lindsay, I met him in Anchorage, and I started lifting weights, and he is not mentally okay. The man has a problem. He does has a problem. He likes to see you throw up. And many a days I threw up. I had words, but I couldn't use it because I was a Christian. But I thought it. So I always, he never ages. Have you noticed? The guy doesn't age. So I wanted to find out how old this man is. But nobody would tell me because we're all politically correct now. You know, you have to be politically correct so they won't tell you your age. So I called a place around and all this stuff. And the only thing they told me, Ms. Don, was we can't tell you his age, but when he was born, Moby Dick was just a minnow. And the Dead Sea was just sick at that time. So that's who we got here. That's who we got. My friend, I'm just so happy. I know you're looking at me like, who are you? I will tell you all about me. Do you mind if I sing? I'm going to try, okay? Don't laugh if you don't like it. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, through all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore. adore you. Girl, I adore you. Clothed in rainbow of living colors, flashes of lightning draw the thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to the only wise King. Yeah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Yeah, who creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Wonder at the mention of your name, Jesus. Your name is power, breath, and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy. Creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. My Lord, I'll adore you. Adore you.
Can I just get a drink? I forgot how dry it is out here. And so, would you do me a favor? Would you rise for this song? The words written by our Lord. And they asked him, how do we pray? Amen. He just said, our Father. And that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about.
though will be thine. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
so much. Boy, I forgot how dry, but we'll make it. We'll make it. You may be seated if you can. You can turn the lights on in the house. I'd love to look at people. It's so amazing that God would use anybody. Do you mind if I come down here? God would use anybody. I know you're looking at me going like, really, where are you really from? I'm glad you asked, as I live in Houston, Texas. And people think I'm Mexican. Woo! Yeah. So when I go to a Mexican restaurant, my name is Julio. I tell them, Señor, I'm running a little late. Could you find me a table really quick? They look at me and they say, you're one of us. We find the table. My wife tells me, one of these days you're going to get caught. I tell her, as long as the color works, I'm going to use it. I'm originally from India. And you're going like, no. You can't be from India. We understand every word you say. If I were to be speaking to you like an Indian, you would not understand a word I'd be saying. So I learned to communicate. I learned to communicate. I grew up in a city that's 9 miles long, 6 miles wide, with a greater population of Calcutta, over 25 million people.
There's 1,000 to a water faucet, 500 to a toilet. There's more than 400,000 people to a square mile. 80% of Calcutta is slums. When I'm talking about toilets, I'm not talking about the toilets that you have in the United States of America. These are open sewers. That's where I went to. And that's where I grew up. I grew up under a father who was a desperate man in his desperate search for God. My father became a Hindu. He became a Muslim. He became a Buddhist. He could not find answers in any of these gods. My father became a Satanist. My father would do his witchcraft and in some way trying to satisfy his mind and his soul. And he would sleep in the graveyards where the Hindus would burn the dead. And he would try to find some kind of a satisfaction for his soul. But nothing happened. My father was a violent man. My father was an alcohol, whatever he'd get his hands on. He would drink it away. He would come up at nights drunk, stinking, smelling. Mom would put her hands into his pockets. There would be no money. She would get a hold of all five of us. Three sisters, two brothers, and she would tell us, we're going to get to sleep tonight. We'll get to eat tomorrow. As an eight-year-old little boy, the oldest among my sister was the oldest, and so I was the second oldest. And being the boy, I was the head of the household. I would take my little mat and lay it out on the streets of Calcutta, holding onto my stomach, wondering, what would be my hope? What would be my destiny? Can we just get one meal a day? That was our dream. That was our hope. All of that changed one day. You see, on a Saturday, my father, drunk, stinking, smelling, was walking down the streets of Calcutta. And he heard music coming out of a building just like this one. But you got to understand, the church that I grew up, we didn't have air conditioning and things like that. The fan would blow the hot air from one of the room to the next. It would be 10,000 degrees in there. Okay? And the windows would be open. And so he heard this music coming out of this building. And he stopped and he listened to this music. And after a little while, he found out it was free. And he thought, free, good music. There's something wrong with these people. So my dad stumbled in, and the ushers and they did not kick him out, so they let him sit back there, and they let him listen to that music. And while he was listening to that music, and after a little while, he saw this great big white man get up there. His name was late Dr. Mark Buntain, who began to talk about a Jesus. He thought, who is this Jesus? Because you see, all the gods that I am serving are trying to make their way to heaven. Who is this Jesus that would leave heaven and come down to earth to die for me? He thought, this is not the God that I can afford, because everywhere he looked, it was so nice and clean, and everybody looked so nice. And he thought, this is a very expensive God. I can't afford him. And he thought, this was a really good time for him to get up and leave. And when he tried to get up and leave, he could not move in his seat. He was stuck. And all of a sudden, he realized he was sober. Now he was really afraid. Because when you're drunk, you're really brave, aren't you? You can do the most stupid things. And my father began to argue with this Jesus. He said, who are you? Who are you, Jesus? You see, the world is asking that question. Who are you, Jesus? Who are you? And we have the answer. Sitting right in this house. While he was arguing with this Jesus, he saw a bright light on the right side of his body, and God began to reveal every one of his sins like he was watching a movie. He did not like the looks of his past. None of us do. So he began to work on his witchcraft, wanting to wipe this thing away before his eyesight. And it did not happen. And just then he heard a voice like, I am talking to you. And this is what it said. If you do not give your life to me today, you are doomed forever. Something shot my dad clean out of his seat. And he made his way to the altar. Something like this. Not as this pretty. And he stood there and he asked this Jesus to come into his heart and change his life forever. And that was the first time as an eight-year-old little boy, I saw my father come home. He was sober, which I'd never seen.
And he had food in his hands. And we were like, as being the 8-year-old, the oldest, I thought, uh-oh, my father's getting ready to die, so he's being nice to us. And he began to talk to us about a God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I thought, oh no, not another God. We have enough of them. But I like this one, because he sent my dad with food. So this is an okay God. So I could get used to this God. And so my father told us, tomorrow was Sunday, and so we're going to go to church. What is church? Never been in one. How do you deal with a church? Next morning we woke up. Pastor, whatever little clothes we had, we wore it and we went to church. And I still remember, we were sitting in the second last row of the church. When we walked in, it was so pretty. Everything looked so clean. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I enjoyed the music, but I don't remember the sermon. And at the end of the service, the missionary said, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, would you stand up? And so my dad stood up, made my mom stand up, my little brother, myself, and my three sisters stand up. And he said, come on. And so we came all the way out to the altar. Oh, I still remember, if I close my eyes, on 18 Roy Street in Calcutta, India. And we stood there. And I still remember the missionary making a comment. He said, I want you to fold your hands and close your eyes. And I thought, that ain't happening. Because you see, I wanted to see my father's God. Because all the other gods, they had their images. What does this Jesus look like? So this is what I did. Because I did not know what door he was going to come out of. But I still remember, ladies and gentlemen, I never got to see my father's God. But when I prayed, something happened in an 8-year-old little boy. He crept into his little heart. And he has not left ever since then. He's been living. And he's been just revolutionizing and changing my life forever. As a little boy, I had never been to school. We couldn't afford school. I still remember when we saw the missionary. What time do you end, Pastor? All the time, June. Yes. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Like I told the guys yesterday. Okay, we're going out to eat, right? Man, I gotta take care of business, man. Come on. McDonald's, happy meal. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I'm going to say it like Elizabeth Taylor told her 8th husband. I'm not going to keep you around for too long. Okay? I still remember, on the Monday after church was over, the missionary's wife wanted us to come to the office and meet her because she had some plans for us. And we were like, okay, what is this? And so we met her. She looked really weird. She was white, blonde, and talked funny. I thought, who is this woman? And she said, you are going to go to school. I thought, what is school? And then I found out, when you become a Christian, your parents leave you in this place. I was not a happy Christian then. My very first new clothes was school uniform. I had never smelled anything new in my life.
So in the night, I would take it out and smell it. We would dress up and go to school, but I would carry my shoes and socks in my hand because I didn't want my shoes to get dirty, so I'd walk bare feet. I remember going to school, 8 years old, scared out of my mind. I thought my parents had left us here. But at 12 o'clock, something very interesting happened. There was a bell that rang. And I thought, what is this bell? And I asked the guy sitting beside me, what does that mean? He said, oh, we're going to go to lunch. I fell in love with school right away. And I was like, I want to go to school every day, even on a Sunday, because we had a meal for sure. Never in my wildest dream that I ever dreamed that I'd go to school. I'd graduate high school. Never, never in my wildest dream going through school. I didn't have a dream. What do you dream about? A better sidewalk? And God began to change our lives. And God began to revolutionize our life. Begin to make me think different. Place a talent in my life. And God began to do all of these things. Oh, I still remember that day. Oh, I never dreamed that I was singing one Sunday. While I was singing, and when I looked on the right side of the church, there was a creature sitting there. I had never seen anything that beautiful in my life. I was like, ay, 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 ay. And she had come as an intern to help in the hospital. Today she's my wife. I never dreamed that a street boy, that God would bring somebody like her into my life. Think about that. Think about that. I'm indebted to the little lady, and I flew over here to Anchorage, Alaska, and married her. I never dreamed that I would work for an oil company. But then I figured out I know the maker who makes oil. I never dreamed. Then when I got transferred to Houston, Texas, and I began to sing in churches, and one thing led to another, here I'm in the full-time ministry. Can you figure that out? Because, you know, we present all of these wonderful plans to God. God, if you would just follow our plan, you could fix this world. And he goes, oh, that was really nice. That's really nice. You know, we think that God cannot fix our problems. In his spare time, he just created the earth. In one day, he just made things and just said, here it is. Boom. God did all that, and we think he can't fix your problem. There's an interesting chapter in the Bible that I love these books. You see, I'm not the sharpest tool in the toolbox. You know, a lot of these that came, you know, the doctors and the engineers and all of that stuff. But I am not, you know, because it took me a long time, man, to get adjusted, okay? Because, you see, I didn't grow up with, you know, sitting at a table. I did not know how, because we sat on the floor and we ate. And so I did not know how to use a fork and knife. I did not know how to wear all these nice clothes. You see, we did not have all of those upbringings. You see, I was 15 years old. That was the first time I slept on a real bed. I was so scared, I thought I was going to fall. I didn't even sleep that night. I was like, if I roll, I'm falling. I'm used to sleeping on the floor, man. I didn't know that. And God says, I want him. Because you see, the world looked at me and said, we can't use him because you see, this guy didn't have the right training. He does not know how to do things the way we do. And he says, I'll take him. I'll take him. Give him to me. I'll take him. And one step at a time, he begins to change. Oh, there's a chapter, there's a book in the Bible found in Matthew chapter 14, 13 to 21. And let me give you the Reader's Digest version of it, okay? And Jesus is out there. He's talking to all of them. And you know how Jesus and the disciples are like, you know, this guy doesn't stop, man. He doesn't stop for eating. He doesn't sleep. No, where is this guy really from? And we're following him. He does things that doesn't make sense to us. And so he's preaching away, and there's thousands of people out there, and so they kind of get his attention, because you see the sun is just about setting, and there's a little cool little breeze blowing, and the trees are swaying, and you know, it's kind of getting that orange-blue color, and things like that, and so they get a hold of him, and they say, listen, you see these people over here? You can heal, deliver, and all of the stuff. But if they get hungry and pass out, they will turn their back on you. You can do everything under the sun, but if they get hungry, they'll call ABC, NBC, Fox News, CNN, and all this stuff, and say, you know, that church over there, they preached so long, I passed out. And so he says, what do you want done? Listen, why don't we send these people away? He goes, no, you can't. It's too late. You know, he goes, listen, we have the revenue. But it'll take us about a day and a half just to go and get the bread and then bring it and prepare it. And he says, no. He goes, what do you have in plan? And Jesus says, don't you guys know me yet? Oh, you don't seem to understand, Pastor. The economy is so bad. It's like he didn't know. We tell Jesus, you want us to do what? Do you know what the economy is like? He goes, tell me about it. Because I didn't know. You know, because I'm busy doing other stuff. I'm so glad I put you on earth. You're so smart. Sometimes I wonder why I gave you so much of smartness. And they said, Jesus, what do you want us to do? And I love what he does. So what do we have? In verse 16, he says, don't make them go away. You find them something to eat. Excuse me? Peter said, do you remember the best catch we ever had? I said, why don't we could double our money, put it in an IRA, and put it in the bank, and it'll double and all this stuff. Today we could have fed all these people. No, you said, give it all up, come follow me. And you want me to do what? And Thomas said, I got to see this. And so here is Jesus. He said, yeah, tell them not to go away. Find them something to eat. And he says, what do you have? Oh, Jesus, you see this little boy? He has 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, oh, that's more than enough. And he goes, it is. Do you see the crowd? Why don't you open your eyes? Take a look. There's a lot of people. I know you can heal and you can touch and you can deliver and all the stuff, but this is too hard. He says, no, bring it to me. See, as long as we sit like this with what God's given you, it will never happen until you do this. And they place it in God's hand. And I love what Jesus does. He looks up to heaven and he blesses. See, everything that you bless, God will multiply. He did not ask, God, please, my Heavenly Father, you know, would you thank you for this food and all this stuff? No, no, no. He just blessed it. And he broke it. Can you imagine the fun they had? Every time they would break it, it would grow. Think about it. I'm sure they had fun. Let's break the head. Let's break the head. See, the head grows back. And they kept breaking. And it kept multiplying. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wanting to be used of God, you should be willing to be broken. Till you're willing to be broken, God cannot multiply you. 12 baskets full. Ladies and gentlemen, one little boy's lunch. He brought his best to Jesus. Pastor, how many do you have in this church? Yeah. Okay, let's go with evangelistically speaking, 300. Okay. So who has an iPhone? Quickly calculated by 300 by 5,000. How much? No, it's got to be more than that. 150,000. Right? 1,500,000. So don't tell me you're little. Little boy brought his best to Jesus, and 5,000 was fed. And from this church, you can reach 1,500,000 people. Wow. You're not little, ladies and gentlemen. You're just holding on. Let me quickly take you to Romania. When they assassinated Ceausescu and all the stuff, and a few years, we built a church over there. And we'd gone for the dedication of the church. And after the service of my friend who's dead and gone, he's in heaven, and he preached about heaven, Lindsay. And he talked about this. In heaven, it's going to be warm. It's going to be beautiful. You never run out of food and all the stuff and things like that. And so when Ceausescu died and, you know, all the kids in the orphanages were just let out onto the street and they were called throwaway kids. We were outside taking pictures because they put the speakers outside the church so the community could hear about the sermon. So I took my Bible and I placed it on a rock and we were taking pictures. And after a little while, I saw this little street girl, dirty, filthy, hair matted. And she got a hold of my Bible, flipped it open, and she was rubbing her hands on the pages and she was turning it over. And I kept watching her, and I made my way towards her. And I said, honey, what are you doing? She wanted to run away. I said, no, don't run away. Don't go away. Don't go away. I said, what are you doing through the interpreter? She said, you know, that man over there, he was talking about a place. It was going to be warm, and there's going to be food, and nobody's ever going to hurt me. And then she looked at me and she said, is heaven for me too? I said, don't go away. Don't go away. Don't, please, don't go away. Let me give you Jesus. So we brought that little girl into our orphanage. Because see, heaven is for her too. If God can take a boy from the streets of Calcutta, and at the same time, they asked me one day, they said, hey, Robert, we're going to take you tonight to some place. And there was like seven of us. We were there. And so I was with an evangelist. And so we went. And I said, where are we going? He said, oh, you'll see. Because you see, these are throwaway kids. Nobody really wants them. They live in the sewer pipes. So that's warm. It was pitch black. And the guy and the pastor, a Romanian pastor, she looks at me and he says, will you sing? I said, what do you want me to sing? It's dark. He looked at me and he said, sing to the darkness. And I began to sing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And while I was singing, we didn't realize that the word got out. The national TV was there. And they had their cameras and their lights. And out of the sewer pipes, there were kids coming out, wondering, who is this? Singing to the darkness. Who is this? Don't go away. Don't go away. Church, if you don't believe in missions, you should not exist. Because it's the heart of God. Because if you don't believe in missions, you're just another country club. He gave us the commission. He said, go into all the world. And we think we got to go across the seas. No, the world, what he was talking about, the world has its systems. The world is made up of systems. It's the financial system. It's the educational system. It's the armed force system. It's the government system. It's the medical system. Oh, church, we have the greatest opportunity to go into the world, which the world is made up of systems. I don't travel because I got nothing else to do. I love my America. And watching my America being torn apart, it breaks my heart. Because if it wasn't for America, I shouldn't be here. Our founding fathers, when they laid the foundation of the United States of America, and if you don't believe me, read it. Everywhere it's etched on our walls that this gospel would be preached, because when he went to his own rejected him. And he said, I'm going to raise up a Gentile nation. And the Gentile nation, oh, you see, Columbus, he didn't make a mistake. No. The poor Indians are still waiting for their Columbus. But God directed him. He landed on the shores. Henry VIII, when he was persecuting the church, and with the only things on them is the Bible under their arms and the clothes on their back, as they landed on the shores of Pennsylvania and all the stuff, and so here they are, and they would preach and began to raise a nation. Oh, you see, when the founding fathers laid the foundation and said the only way we're going to be great, that this gospel and missions would be the the heart of the United States of America. 230 years, never in the history of any other nation that has grown to be as powerful as the United States of America. Today we have people, I am not afraid and I will not apologize because I'm not politically correct. Politically correct is for wimps. So I'm going to say it. They are from the pits of hell because they want to destroy our nation and want to destroy the foundation that God has laid. I'm not here for you to like me. I'm here for you to fall in love with Jesus. I shouldn't be here. From a human point of view, from the world's point of view, I shouldn't be here. But God loves America so much. He's bringing the products from the mission field. Like Pastor, myself, to tell you one more time that Jesus loves you. He gave himself for you. Let me quickly take you to Russia. We were downtown Russia. We were distributing books out, Jesse. And people were not even being nice. They were grabbing it out of our hands. And right across on the other side, I see Stalin's grave. And I had this little smirk on my face because Stalin said, this red book will be all over the world and the Bible will be in a museum. And I was thinking, wherever you are, I hope it's not hot. Enjoy your red book. That's the human side of me took over. And while we were handing out these books, people were grabbing these books. I saw a little old man, Pastor Shannon. This guy's pants were up on his chest. Gnarled hands, wrinkled face. And he was shuffling his way towards us. And I, in my warped, crazy mind, and I'm standing there thinking, all right, come on, Pops, you can make it. You can make it. And I'm watching this guy. He's shuffling towards us. And so when he comes to us, Pastor Shannon and Lindsay, and he says, can I have my book? And I looked around, and all the books were gone. I looked at the man, to the interpreter. We were talking to him, we said, we don't have any more books. He said, you see, you don't seem to understand. You really don't seem to understand. You see my hands? My fingers are broken because I've been telling them there is a people that's going to come from the other side and they're going to prove to you that I am right, that Jesus Christ is the only Lord and Savior of our world. They're going to come. They're going to tell you about Jesus. Oh, they threw me in prison. They've starved me. They beat me up and they did everything under the sun. No. Look. You are here today. You are here. And we said, yes, sir, we are. And then he looked at us. He said, I got to have my book. I said, where do you live? He goes, so we gave him our address where he could come get his book. And then he did something, Miss Donna, that absolutely devastated me. He said, can I have one of those boxes? I said, sir, what do you want? It's an empty box. I thought he wanted to store his stuff. He said, no. Like, can I have one of those boxes? So I got a little one and I gave it to him. And he held it close to his chest. And he said, I will hold on to this box till you give me my book because the books came in this box. Don't go away. Don't go away. Don't go away. I have the bread of life for you. Don't go away. See, the world is asking, who is this Jesus? Who is he? Who is he? Will you show us? And we've been silent for so long. I can't wait for church to be filled with people that don't look like us. People with different color hair, tattoos and piercings and just not normal. I want them to come. And I want you to tell them, we love you. Don't tell them to change. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job. You just love them. Just hug them, hold them, and tell them we love you here. And God will change them. God will change them. With this, I want to close. In the 70s, my hero, Mark Buntain, the Assemblies of God, we do a thing called Faith Promise, where we raise money for missionaries and for missions programs for churches. And in that church, he was preaching. Only he can do it the way he does it best. And he put out the pledge, and he put out the challenge for the people. In the church, there was a little boy by the name of Johnny. Johnny was not a normal kid. Johnny lived on a wheelchair. He was mentally challenged, and he was crippled. And Johnny got a little pledge form. He managed to legibly write down what he wanted to give for the whole year. And he put it in the offering, and his father was the head deacon of the church. And so when they went to lunch, Johnny's dad took the little pledge out that Johnny had written and said, "Son, Dad can't help you with this. You've written $1,500 for the year. With all the medical bills and everything, you see, Son, Dad can't help you." He said, "Dad, I never asked for you, your help. This is between me and God." He said, "Okay, son, okay. You got to understand, Johnny wanted to be a missionary. But Johnny knew he couldn't. Johnny wanted to preach, but he could not talk well." Johnny began to get to work. Johnny would wheel his wheelchair in the neighborhood, in the schools, and he would say, "Do you have your Coke cans? Do you have newspaper?" They go, "Why, Johnny?" "Because you see, I made a pledge for $1,500 to give it to missions. So if you don't have it, can I have it?" And so Johnny began to get to work. He sold his Pac-Man, his TV, and all the stuff. And Johnny would count his money every day, and the time came for him to deliver his message, and he wheeled his wheelchair and a brown paper sack that had more tape on it, and he took it to his dad and he said, "Dad, help me count it." And Dad began to count it. It was $1,500. And his dad said, "Johnny, how'd you do it, son?" He says, "Dad, look at me, look at me. Hasn't God blessed me so much? How could I not do this little for God?" That Sunday, man, he couldn't wait. He wheeled his wheelchair to the pastor's office and he knocked on the door. And the pastor opened the door and he said, "Pastor, I did it." He goes, "What'd you do, Johnny?" He said, "Pastor, I made a pledge and I did it." He goes, "Johnny, how'd you do it, son?" He said, "Look at me, look at me." He said, "Would you take this money? Would you win one soul for me? Because I want to be a missionary.
Would you win one soul for me, that that soul would take the gospel to the ends of the earth? He said, sure, Johnny. At that time, there was a flood that came through Calcutta, and it wiped out our kitchen, where school kids used to get their one meal a day. Mark Buntain, the missionary, called him and said, I've lost my kitchen. Would you help me? He said, yeah. How much do you need? And he told him. He said, I've got Johnny's money. Only heaven would reveal. Was it Johnny's money, the one, this boy, that he's taking the gospel to the ends of the earth? We don't know. Only heaven would reveal it. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to leave this place if I don't give you a chance. Would you like to meet my Jesus that changed my life? Because he's wanting to change yours. Would you bow your heads? I have to give you this opportunity. Because then all what I said was not. So I just want to ask you. You're not going to impress me. You're going to impress God. You're saying, Robert, I have so much. I want to give my life to God. And if it's you, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Today is the greatest day of your life. When he can take an 8-year-old boy from the streets of Calcutta and make this out of him. What's your problem? Can I ask you one big favor? All the ones that raised their hands, could you come up here? I'd like to pray with you. Come on. There's nothing, there's no greater anointing here. Come on. I have to. Come. Waited for this day a long time. He's been waiting. And today you fulfilled his heart's desire. And said, God, I'll give my life to you. You might think, you know, I'm just too old. I can't do this. No. You don't seem to understand. He used Moses when he was 80 years old. It's very simple. The little prayer that a little boy in India said. And he crept into his heart. Today when I go back to India, they're like, what happened to you? I said, I don't know. Ask Jesus. Because he's the cause of this. Would you pray with me and repeat after me? Lord Jesus, thank you for being there for me all the time. Thank you for dying for me. If I was the only one, you would have done it just for me. Today, I come here to dedicate my life to you. I want to give you my heart. I want you to come live in my life. I want you to change me. I want you to wash me. cleanse me of all my sins. And I want to be called your child. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and changing my life. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated if you can. If you want to come, thank you. If you want to come talk to me after the service, I'll be here. No matter how long it takes. Some of you want to come talk to me and pray with me? I would love to. I'll be right here. No matter how long it takes. Some of you have said, you know, I used to be really on fire for God, but I do not know what happened. I do not know what happened. And he says, I know, but I still forgive you. I want you for me. I sit on planes a lot. And people ask me, they go, so what do you do for a living? Because they see somebody like me and they go, I got to be a doctor, an engineer or something. And I tell them I'm a minister. They go, oh, you're in politics? I say, yeah, kinda. They said, what do you mean minister? I said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And they look at me and they go, you? I go, yeah, me. And this is kind of funny, their opinion about me. They go, you look too cool to be a Christian. I said, what does that mean? They go, you don't look like a Christian. I said, that's what I love. I said, because Jesus took people that didn't look like Christian. Do you know Jesus is not Christian? He's Jewish. We built this language called the Christianese. We've got our own little language we got. Wonderful. You're just so wonderful. Jesus will do amazing things if you would let him. Some days, I was telling Pastor, one day I was praying. You know, people think, you know, you have to be praying. Man, you know, you got to find a place and you got to be on your knees and you got to look, you know, like you're really suffering for Jesus when you're praying. You know, I just can't stand being around pious people. You know, the ones always crying. Oh, Jesus. I'm like, oh, shut up. Those are people who just irritate me. That's why people don't want to come to Christ. They're going like, I want to be happy, man. You're always crying. I go, that's right. Oh, Jesus. I'm like, oh, shut up. What was I talking about? Oh, God. Jesus was, you know, he'll do things. I was praying one day. And I said, God, I never dreamed this. I never dreamed this. I thought I was really impressing him. Like, yes, we're like this. And we're like this. We're tight. And he said, son, you dream so little I can't fit in. I'm going to dream for you. I'm going to dream for you. Let him dream for you. And you don't have to be this, you know, where you have to tell people. It just really bothers me. I have run into people on the planes where they'll tell the people, you know, you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And they turn and tell them, you go to hell. You know? I have conversations with people on the plane. Homosexuals and lesbians and... Yeah, I've had one woman tell me, she goes, you know, she was trying to be like me, a man. I get one look, you can tell, you can't be like me. And she got talking, we got talking. And she said, all men are pigs. I said, look, you don't even know me. You put me in the category. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, if all men are pigs, why are you trying to be like one? She said, Robert, nobody's ever asked me that question. I said, yeah, because they want to be politically correct. I'm not afraid of you. I said, listen, when you're alone, you don't have to pray. Have a conversation. Say, Jesus, why am I like this? Why? And he'll show you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute honor. I can't wait to come back to be with you guys. I used to be in big churches and all that stuff. I've sung for 1 million people to 25 people. I want to be with you. I'm going to bring some friends of mine that'll absolutely will blow your mind. I want you to get to know them. I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you. Because next time when I come, I will come for a few more days that I want to gather. And I want you to ask us questions. And if whatever, and we have questions for you. And we want answers from you. How can we do this Jesus thing together and win Kodiak for Jesus? Pastor. It's an honor, sir. Thank you.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful word. I believe God's going to start doing something spectacular. It's hard to even put that into words. All I can say is that the best is yet to come. Yes. Our best days at here on this island, they're yet to come. And I believe God is preparing us now for what's ahead. Can you imagine for a minute if we had the whole entire community knocking on our doors right now and asking us about this Jesus, what would we do? Can we handle it? Where are we going to put them? How are we going to feed them? Just like the message, God is saying, look at what you have. Look at what you already have. Look at what's available in your hands. And I believe God's going to do something miraculous when you make what is available in your hand and you place it into His. I know I've talked about strategic planning on how we do things and how we need to be kind of thinking, what's the next move? What's the next phase, Lord? And every time I talk about this, we end up talking about the building, talk about the project that God asked for us to accomplish. But I want you to know that you're here for that reason. God is asking you what is in your hands, not so much as, I want your dollars. You know, sometimes we think of it like that. We're so rational in our thinking. God doesn't need dollars. God needs you. He needs you. He needs you being available to Him. That's it. He takes care of all the rest when you become available to Him. So right now we're passing our little pouch So I want you to be generous in how we can bless this man. He pays his own way here. He does everything by himself. He doesn't want to get anything, but we want to be a generous church. We want to be able to bless him, bless his ministry. Through what we sow into his ministry, he's able to reach those orphanages that are way out there that you and I will never get an opportunity to maybe even go and visit. But guess what? We can sow seeds that can reach those kids so that they will never be hungry again. So that they'll have a place to stay. We watched that movie, Lion, a couple of nights ago. It was eye-opening even for our kids to realize that there are kids that are out there that are lost. What was the number that we came up? 80,000 a year, just in India, that are lost. Lost meaning no parents. They're out on the streets, roaming, not knowing where mom and dad, where they are, and family members. They've been abandoned out on the streets. Where predators are out there grabbing those kids and doing all kinds of stuff with those kids. It's time we start rising up as a church and become aware of what is happening in our world. And let's do something about it. And I believe through his ministry and many things, we're gonna have a place where we're gonna have a voice to be able to address those issues that probably a lot of other people might want to just kick the can down the road and let somebody else deal with it. Because it's not in our forefront, it's not in our backyard. But guess what? We have a sense of responsibility as a church not to turn away. That's why I love my kids when they watch this kind of stuff where they are breaking in their eyes. There was not a single dry eye at home when they were watching this because they were broken. And that's important that we teach our kids to be broken with the things that breaks the heart of God. And that is to be mission-minded. That is the life of a church. Because that's the heartbeat of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the seeds that were sown right now. And we thank you for a bountiful harvest. That those seeds, they've left our hands, Lord God, but they are going with a mission, with a purpose. Let all these seeds accomplish the task, what we've sent them out to do. Let them grow and multiply. Let those kids that are out there never grow hungry again. Let them feel the love of Christ. Let them come to you and come to the saving knowledge of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. For those who are watching us online, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you again next Sunday.